Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Over the holidays, my family and I had the opportunity to attend a beautiful dance performance based on traditional Chinese dance and culture prior to the brutal Maoist communist takeover. This interested me a great deal, as does the rich history of China. I'm a student of history from multiple eras. One of my fascinations is World War II, so much so that for Christmas, my family gave me an original edition set. It's a six-volume set. It's a masterpiece on the Second World War written by Winston Churchill. I treasure it because I know that Churchill stood his ground against tyranny. Some lately have tried to paint Churchill as the villain, but anyone who was alive at the time, and I knew a lot of them in my younger days, will tell you that he was the hero. That's why I often share stories from Dunkirk or the Battle of the Bulge. And my family and you listeners, you have to put up with me. I'm sorry. Speaking of family, my favorite co-host in the world, my favorite person in the world, is in studio. The love of my life, the mother of our children, my best friend, my life partner, Marnie. Welcome.
Well, thank you. I love being here. Love being with you.
Hey, Marnie. Did you hear me? I'm starting down the path of war stories.
Oh, my goodness. You know all the war stories. You know the heroes and the villains. And you know what? It's fascinating. I love your knowledge of history.
I can't get enough of them. And thank you for the books. And thanks for our daughter for the books. Even Larry Arn, I contacted him to wish him Merry Christmas. And he was impressed that you were able to get me original edition of this. And he's a Churchill fanatic.
The head of All Hillsdale College, who is an expert
on Churchill.
Churchill.
Yep. Yeah. He was impressed. He was. If you'll indulge me, though, I want to tell you a brief story that relates to our guest that's coming in and relates to the program that we saw. It's the story of Doolittle's Raiders. And they made a movie about this. They made it in 1944, before the war was even over, and the title of it was 30 Seconds Over Tokyo. I don't know that I forced you to watch that one with me, but yeah, I'm going to
in
now.
In and out, yeah. No, I want to see it. After you explained it to me, it's true history that needs to be known.
Yeah, well, basically the story is America's bombing on Tokyo just 4 months after Pearl Harbor. And here's what happened. Pearl Harbor, we're dejected as a nation. We've had our number one naval base in the Pacific taken out. And so we said, we've got an impossible mission. How are we going to strike back at Imperial Japan? We're going to have to hit Tokyo. We had no forward bases. There was no base to take it off of. So we got the gutsiest lieutenant colonel in the Army Air Corps, Jimmy Doolittle, to lead crews of specially rigged B-25 bombers that would be able to take off from an aircraft carrier. The USS Hornet. This is
crazy.
These aren't fighters that can also drop bombs. These are actual bombers.
And you don't land them back on the ships.
I don't know how you could land them back on the ships. Fighter jets could, but not bombers. And so we've got some old war photos from this where you see it takes up the entire deck. It's not Top Gun where they're just a little tiny plane on a big deck. It takes up the entire aircraft carrier deck. It was a crazy mission to punch the Imperial Japanese in the nose and to show the men and women back home that America was still in the fight, that we've not given up. I know of this through the movie. I remember watching the movie as a kid, but I also know about it because when I first moved to Carmel, California, I met Doolittle.
That's amazing.
Yep. He would hold his reunions every year, and a number of years they were in Carmel. I think it was at Quail Lodge, but you could meet him throughout the Monterey Peninsula. And this made big press because these were genuine American heroes. Most people don't even know who they are today.
It's a kind of bravery that I don't think a lot of us understand.
Oh, bravery. Yeah. I mean, where are you going to land? You can't land in Japan.
So they know they're not coming back.
They're probably not going to come back. So you're going to take off from an aircraft carrier. You're going to fly over Tokyo. If you don't get shot down, which you probably will, and you get to drop your payload of bombs, where are you going to ditch? You're going to ditch in the ocean. You might make it to China. And if you make it to China, even then, you'll probably have to run out of fuel and crash land. And you can see, there's a picture I've got here from history.net of Doolittle sitting on top of his wrecked bomber because he couldn't make it all the way back. But this changed the war. This was so powerful. Because of this, Yamamoto had to move up plans to attack Midway, which means we won at Midway. You've seen that movie. I made you watch both the old and the new version.
Right.
Hey, you've seen...
No, I liked it. I liked it. Well, what happened to the... You said there were 16 bombers?
Yeah, I think...
What happened?
I think 14 of them made it to China. And here's the amazing thing is they were immediately taken in by the wonderful Chinese people. They were loved on. They were protected. The Japanese were incensed. They went after them. And I'm going to read to you, after the B-25s crashed in Japanese-occupied China, Chinese villagers provided food, shelter, and guidance to the flyers. Japanese retaliation for the Chinese civilians aiding the downed American airmen led to a campaign resulting in an estimated 250,000 Chinese deaths. They just...
Under Imperial Japan.
Japan just killed 250,000 Chinese because they helped the Americans. And the Chinese people took it because they knew it was the right thing to do.
Look how history changes, because you see the Japanese are now our ally and China's...
Well, yeah. The Chinese people are our friends.
Right,
but what
absolutely.
Happened was Chairman Mao comes along and he takes over with communism, and communism resulted in 70 million deaths in peacetime, more than any other 20th century leader. China has perhaps the oldest culture on earth, and they were friends, and the Chinese people are still friends of the United States.
Yes.
Marnie, you and I got to take the family and had the opportunity to see pre-communist culture from China recently at a performance of Shen Yun.
Yes.
That was amazing.
It really was. It was stunning.
You've told me for years.
Yeah, I wanted to see it.
You would take this ad from previous years,
yeah,
and you'd say, I'd like to see that sometime.
Now I actually have a program, see?
You have a program because we actually got to go see it.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful show, displaying Chinese history,
and I'm
art.
Wearing a sweater.
Yeah, you're...
A sparkly sweater.
Looks like...
Because of their costuming. It was beautiful.
They had the long sleeves, and then they would... It was beautiful.
Artistry is amazing.
It's definitely not Christian, but it's not anti-Christian per se. The show talks about a creator. It has good moral lessons. As Christian believers, we know that Jesus is the only way to heaven because we will never be good enough on our own. His shed blood atones for our sins. But they talk about morality and being good people and finding heaven. It's very anti-evolution.
Yes.
It's very anti-atheism.
Absolutely.
It really is a beautiful... It's
pro-liberty.
It's pro-liberty. It showcases China prior to communism. And I tell you, the Chinese people are wonderful people. They're friends of America. And communism has literally stripped.
That shows the beautiful country that it once was, and their beliefs and their rich history and all of that. And the show is trying to portray that.
So we took our dance major daughter there and and her boyfriend, who's a music major, and we talked with him. He loved the music, some of which was traditional Chinese instruments.
Oh, that was really neat to hear.
In an orchestra. And some of the dance, I asked her daughter, is it true? Because what they said was, before gymnastics, before acrobatics, was Chinese dance. And it was Chinese dance that allowed these flips and turns and all this, which, you know.
That influenced gymnastics. As I understand it. I haven't fully researched that.
And we heard from our dance major daughter that, there's truth in that. This precedes a lot. And we heard that Chinese dance and classical ballet are the two complete comprehensive systems of dance.
They have, as I understand, their system is one of the most comprehensive in dance today. So, and by system, you know, there's in ballet, there's Vaganova ballet, there's all kinds of genres and systems, and theirs is supposed to be one of the most comprehensive, which was, you could see it.
You can see it. The talent is there. There's no question about it. The art is there. The beauty is there. The anti-communism, anti-atheism, anti-evolution, it's all there. It is Shen Yun, and we got to see their 2026 performance in Dallas. All right, we need to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the beautiful Shen Yun performance. We'll be right back. Here's a $10 bill. It's got the picture of Alexander Hamilton on the front of it. You know, it's kind of sad. When I was 10 years old, Everything that I could buy for a dollar now costs about $10. That's the cost of inflation. It's just paper. It's not backed by anything. You can't exchange it for gold and silver. You used to, but you can't do that anymore. And that's unfortunate. You know, pirates wouldn't accept this. Pirates, they wanted gold and silver. Patriots, the founders of this nation, also wanted gold and silver coin. In fact, they put a provision in the Constitution, 17 words, that said states could only make gold and silver coins tender within the states. That's why I wrote this new book, Pirate Money, Discovering the Founders' Hidden Plan for Economic Justice and Defeating the Great Reset. It will explain exactly the history of money and exactly why gold and silver coins can be made modern with new technology and a useful monetary system. PirateMoneyBook.com.
I'm outside Babe's, which I'm told is the quintessential chicken restaurant here in Roanoke, Texas. Let's go and see if we can buy the food in here, chicken with gold.
This is gonna be the fried chicken.
This is unbelievable. How am I gonna fit all this in? I seriously actually don't know how to begin with this. This is so overwhelming.
Do you think I can pay with gold?
I don't know. You may have to ask the cashier. I don't handle it.
Can I pay with gold? But actually, you said I could pay with this? Okay, I'm going to pay with this, but I'm going to pay with gold. So look at the price of gold going up. That's pretty cool, yeah? Right, this is Babe's, yeah? How much gold did I pay? Gold, how many grams?
0.26.
Quarter of a gram of gold. How about that?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Success! Bought with gold, paid with glint.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, over the holidays, Marnie and I and our family got to go to the Iceman Center and see the performance of Shen Yun, something that you have wanted to do
for years.
Yes. I think it's the 20th anniversary show.
It is.
I found the dance, the costumes, the music beautiful. And I've gotten more into dance watching our daughters grow up. It was never anything that I thought would interest me, but the culture interested me. And that's what I loved about the program.
Absolutely.
The show demonstrated traditional China before communism. And that, unfortunately, because of that, Shen Yun is a threat to communist rule because it harkens back to the wonderful, beautiful people, the history, the tradition, and communism likes to wipe all of that out and start brand new fresh because that way they can brainwash people. If you remember the old, then you might realize that there's a better way, and they're afraid to let people remember the better way.
All the beauty, the creativity, the ability to free think, the critical thinking, not allowed.
As a result, this show and the people behind it are amongst the most repressed people in the world. Members of this same repressed group are behind the popular Epoch Times newspaper that I read and get a lot of great information out of, and NTD News that you might see online or on your cable system. Anyone who's followed either one of those know that they have some of the most objective and important reporting in the industry.
I agree. We need it. We needed them.
We need them. So to better understand the oppression, I want to bring in a guy. I read this article in Epoch Times, When Weaponized Journalism Threatens Our Nation. This is the opinion section from the current print edition. Levi. Levi, welcome to Pirate Money Radio.
Thank you very much for having me.
You know, you're the executive director with the New York-based Falun Dafa Information Center. It's an organization dedicated to ending the human rights abuses against people who practice Falun Gong in China. You serve as a trustee of Fai Tian College, a renowned performing arts conservatory where most of the Shen Yun performers are trained. Your commitment to the arts extends to your family. But you're a human rights leader. You don't normally connect those two. Tell us how you got to where you are, who you are, and what you do.
Sure. So 27 years ago, I was meditating in a park because a friend of mine from China had taught me this practice called Falun Gong, this Buddhist-based spiritual practice, and I thought it was great. We just started a software startup, and we were doing that every morning in the park, and one day he comes in and says, my mother is gone. And so I knew nothing really at that point about modern China. And that threw me into this whole world that the Chinese regime, after praising this spiritual practice for a decade and promoting it and saying, oh, it's wonderful, they found out there's way more people practicing Falun Gong than there are Communist Party members. And so at the turn of the century, 99, they said, okay, we're going to eradicate this spiritual practice. And by the millions, Falun Gong people started disappearing into detention centers, labor camps, prison camps, all kinds of stuff. And so I've been working on that really for the last 26 years, trying to get these stories out of China and into the West.
Yeah. Now I want to point out that even the Biden State Department agrees with what you just said. I've got a U.S. Department of State from July of 24. That's smack dab in the middle of the Biden administration. It says 25 years of PRC, People's Republic of China, government repression and abuse of Falun Gong. This is something that's known internationally, but it's not necessarily understood or known by the American people. We just see a beautiful dance tour is coming through and you think, well, I'll go see that. When you get there and you watch this, you realize that there's much more to the story than just a few beautiful dance pieces.
Yeah, that's right. So back in 2006, you know, the persecution in Falun Gong is raging across China. People are being tortured. People are dying. Organ harvesting, the crime of organ harvesting is just coming out. And the media is basically silent. And so some elite artists gathered in upstate New York and said, okay, what can we do? And they put together what at that time was just a group of volunteers coming together saying, look, this is not just about Falun Gong. This is bigger than Falun Gong. This is about trying to put the final nail in the coffin to destroy Chinese culture, the real authentic culture of China. And we can't let that happen. And so they started Chengyun, and eventually in a few years, they started college and an academy so that this culture of China could be taught to the next generation and shared with the world. And that's really what you see on stage with Chengyun, is a presentation of the authentic Chinese culture and the true heroism spirit of the Chinese people.
Now, I want to pull out of you one of the things that you've mentioned, and you didn't say it casually on purpose, but it came, it is something that you cannot skip over.
No.
Live organ harvesting. And it's something I studied as an economic warfare consultant to the Pentagon back in 2008, 2009, and I was telling you, this is taking place. It's not just it's not just the Falun Gong. It is also the Uyghur population and others. Literally, they're taking people and saying, you've got organs that we can sell and bring in hard currency, and they're...
So they'll take an organ, and then they will leave the person alive. The person will survive it, and then they're now...
Yeah.
You know, like their eyes.
They leave them alive so they can take other organs, right?
Yeah, it's just horrifying.
We saw that, and by the way, in the presentation, you saw a man who was there, and he was beaten up, and then he goes away, and he comes back, and his eyes are missing because they sold the eyes.
Right.
This is a real practice, right? I mean, this isn't...
Absolutely. I think it was we first heard about it in mid-2000s. The West had a hard time believing this was real. But over the years, it's gained a lot of traction, principally the China Tribunal, which was chaired by Jeffrey Nice, who's the guy who put Slobodan Milosevic behind bars, or the former Yugoslavia. He chaired a tribunal in London for a year, and their findings after that year were indeed people were being killed on a massive scale for their organs. Falun Gong was the primary victim, and in many years, they were killing upwards of 30,000 people or more in China to harvest their organs and fuel a multi-billion dollar organ transplant industry. And this still continues to today.
You know, Levi, I'm doing a show on our sister show, Economic War Room, and I'm talking about the debt bomb and all the implications it has. If you turn against life, which China did with the one-child policy, and you reject life, which America has done in large part with abortion and a lot of other things, then you've got to have a replacement. You either have to go into transhumanism,
right,
and the idea I'll extend my life for 180 years or whatever, or I'll upload myself to a computer or whatever. You're looking for body parts. Right. I'm 80 years old. I've got a lot of money, so I need a new kidney. Kill somebody and give me the kidney and I'll pay you for it. This is the worst of any type of economic warfare. This is the worst human atrocity I can imagine. It's all, you know, you almost just say, if you're going to take my spleen and my eyes and my liver, just kill me. You know, it would be better. What they're doing is treating people like body parts, and that's frightening.
It is. I have no words.
As you tell, I mean, this is one of the places where Shinyan is very brave. They just put that on stage because, again, the media wasn't covering it. The NGO space didn't really have the ability to penetrate into China and expose us on a large scale. So Shenyun is one of those organizations. There are others, but some of the organizations that through art are saying, okay, let's put this on stage and let people see not just the horror of what this is, but the beauty of the courage and the spiritual depth of the Chinese people to face that.
It is well done how you depicted it.
So. It's not grotesque, but it is poignant. It's powerful. All right, so it's important too because it's been covered, like you said. The tribunal has documented factually that this is the case. I showed it to the people that I was showing it in the CIA, DIA, and Pentagon.
And they
is happening, and they weren't wanting to believe it because China's our ally, China's our friend, and there are facts there. It's even in the NIH, the National Institute of Health, has documented this as a reality. But it started, and you mentioned an important year, Levi, when you said, well, about 1999. Now, I've been studying China for a very long period of time. 1999 is when they published the book Unrestricted Warfare, and they mentioned everything. And that's when oppression really began. They were trying to put on a good face to the world after Tiananmen Square and prior to 1999. It was pretend we're all friendly, we're all good capitalists here, and they were kind to the people of China, kinder during that period. But in 1999, it switched. They love Falun Gong because they made good citizens. They were, you know, they don't break the law. They're honorable. They're moral people. But here in 1999, now we have to eradicate them. And that's happened when they began to emerge with unrestricted warfare.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've seen unrestricted warfare. I mean, you think of that as a playbook. We've seen that actually play out on the American landscape over the last 25 years. And Falun Gong is a component of that. Victim of that, an example of that.
Yeah, sure. Epoch Times has published a great infographic. I remember because I was talking about this and I saw it in the paper, opened it up and saw it in the paper. I called and got permission to reprint the infographic, which I was given in my blogs and in my books, because it is so comprehensive. It's titled China's Secret War Against America. And you can walk through there and you can see step one, demoralize; step two, destabilize; step three, open conflict; and step four, intervention. And we see China, the Communist Party, not the people. The people are wonderful. Before you came on, Levi, I was talking about how wonderful the Chinese people were before communism to protect Doolittle and his raiders after 30 seconds over Tokyo. And they gave 250,000 lives to protect the Americans to help us win against imperialist Japan. The Chinese people are wonderful, sacrificial, honorable, terrific people, but they're under this extraordinarily repressive system.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Venezuelans under Maduro. I'm seeing a pattern here. Okay, all right, I need to insert a quick on-air read. It's about money in a lot of cases. It's economic warfare, and there are only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, you can spend it, you can invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, it's a mobile phone company, supports the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the economic war room, Patriot Mobile, is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. All right, we're talking with Levi. He's explaining to us, you've got a great, great website that I found your bio at. Can you tell our viewers what your personal website is?
Sure. Well, my website, I've got a website for myself, levibrowdy.com, where I publish interviews, articles, and things like that. But I'm the executive director of the Falun Dafa Information Center, which is the clearinghouse where all these stories from inside China and really transnational pressure around the world together in one place. And that's Falun Dafa.
That's wonderful. All right, we'll be back more with Levi Brody and Pirate Money Radio right after this break. We'll be right back.
You're careful about what you bring home when shopping, especially when it comes to feeding your family. Shouldn't your investments work the same way? At Timothy Plan, we offer a wide selection of mutual funds and ETFs that can help you allocate assets without compromising your values. From technology to healthcare, energy to real estate, our funds are not only diverse but uncompromising to your values. Timothy Plan funds are filtered to avoid companies involved in abortion, pornography, human trafficking, and other harmful agendas. What you invest in should reflect what you stand for. Are your investments bearing good fruit? What's in your portfolio? Contact your financial advisor today to find out, or contact Timothy Plan directly at 1-800-TIM-PLAN to discover more. Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal.
Gold holds its value far better than the US dollar. Let's see what happens when I go in the sweet shop and pay with gold. Can I pay with gold?
Find out how much it costs.
Do you know why I'm even using gold?
I do not.
It holds its value over time.
Yeah.
But it's a bit difficult to spend, isn't it? Do you take this?
Yes.
That's MasterCard. Yeah, but I'm actually going to pay with gold, believe it or not, using
really?
This. Using this. That's my MasterCard, and it's linked to my gold wallet. So let's just watch that. Authorizing. Yeah, add a tip.
Thank you.
So this is your store?
Yes, sir.
And how much gold did I pay?
0.2243 grams.
Yeah, success. Bought with gold, paid with glint.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, and I'm joined by Marnie Freeman and Levi Browdy from Shen Yun and from the group. I think you've got some family that's involved in this. I saw a picture of you with your family that's involved with Shen Yun. You've got two dancer sons, is that right?
Yeah, it's quite a story, actually, because I knew nothing about dance and didn't really care for it, actually, to be honest. And my boys, I raised them as baseball players. You know, they were pitchers. They were pretty good hitters. They were looking they were on a track to do baseball. They got in with some friends who were doing classical Chinese dance. And what I witnessed immediately was that it was kind of like a combination of Juilliard and an academy. You know, I don't know if you've ever been to karate dojo, but it's a lot of discipline and respect and camaraderie that you build with people in your dojo. I saw that in the classical Chinese dance discipline. So I was very supportive. What I didn't expect is for a few years, they would get rather good at it. And so they really, eventually they dropped the baseball. It took me a while to get over that. They became proficient dancers in the college, and they applied to the practicum program that allows them to dance alongside the professionals in Shen Yun. And they've been touring the world for the last few years now with Shen Yun, and it's been absolutely remarkable.
Well, you know, Marnie and I had daughters, and they were both dancers, and they taught me that they're athletes. Dancers are as much an athlete, if not more. And I remember that show, what was it, Game Plan, that had Dwayne The Rock Johnson mm-hmm. as the star football quarterback, and he met his daughter, and she's a ballet dancer, and so he thought he'd take a ballet class. And it kicked his rear end.
Yes.
I mean, because it takes so much discipline and so much athletic skill to be a great dancer. It really is impressive.
Yeah, they had a good time, but you're right in the discipline of it. Where in her program they have, you know, like football and baseball and all, they have the athletic directors and the skilled help of all kinds, medical and everything. In our daughter's program, they have the same thing, and her program is dance.
Yeah.
So they have athletic trainers, they have all of it.
You use muscles that you did not know you had when you tried to dance. So your sons have been involved, but there's more than one company that travels the country, I think. When it started in 2006, there was one, but now it's grown, right?
That's right. In 2006, it was not just one, but it was just a group of volunteers. You know, this is just the startup story of Shenyun is remarkable. It puts Hewlett Packard and Apple to shame, quite frankly. But yeah, to now, it's gone from a group of volunteers to companies that travel the world simultaneously during the tour season. And they go all over Europe, all over the Americas, and
eight companies. So I've looked at, and if people want to see the performance, the website is what?
Shenyun.com.
Shenyun.com. Shenyun.com. And yep. And you can see that they're, you know, we saw them in Dallas, which was fun at the Eisman Center, and they'll be back at the Eisman Center later this month, but they'll be in Houston and San Antonio and all over. A great opportunity to see this. It's grown so much. It's fun. It's entertaining. It's enlightening. But it really does have that miracle story in that they've grown so rapidly in such a short period of time out of nowhere. I mean, when we got married, that didn't exist.
That's true. Well, you said 2008 or something, yeah. Right? No. Yeah.
I find there's a real secret to their success. It's interesting because, you know, you saw the show, and so you see that they portray spiritual values, they portray sort of moral values, patience, loyalty, compassion, cleanness. What's interesting is that that's not an act. If you look at the culture of the company, you know, every day the company is meditating together. They're reading scripture together. They're doing discipline together. They're encouraging each other. You know, they don't have prima donnas. The more you become a principal dancer, the more you help others. So when they get on stage to portray these values, I think what really touches people is they're not acting. They really live these principles. And I think that comes through in the performance.
Yeah, well, it does come through in the performance. And yet the Chinese Communist Party has made a point to try and build a false narrative about that same company. This is what you were talking about with weaponized journalism threatening our nation. For example, the New York Times apparently got some favors from the Chinese Communist Party. By the way, I've been to China last time, though, was January 1999, shortly before we got married. I visited Hong Kong and then Shenzhen, China, doing investment analysis. But at that time, everything seemed very open to, we love freedom, we love America, we're heading this direction. And then something switched about that time. And now we see the CCP infiltrating the American media in order to put out a false narrative. Can you describe that false narrative from the New York Times and what they were trying to claim and how false it is?
Sure. I mean, one thing to understand is the CCP has been going after Shenyun for 20 years. I mean, they send diplomats all over the world, pressure theaters, pressure local governments. They flashed our tires. We had 24/7 security on our buses everywhere we go around the world. None of that worked. And that was recognized in the highest levels of the Chinese regime years ago. And they put out orders that they said, you need to use the law, the legal system in the U.S. and the media to drive a wedge between Shenyun, American people, and the government, and that's exactly what we're seeing. And so if you look at the New York Times as an example, the three key interviewees, the former performers with Shenyun, the key is what they don't tell you. So they have complaints about it's abusive, it's this or that at Shenyun. What they don't tell you is that these were dancers that either were out because of their behavior or didn't make the cut and were not hired by Shenyun. They then continued to support and volunteer for Shenyun organizations for years. And it wasn't until, by their own admission, it wasn't until they start working with the Beijing Dance Academy, a government-run program run by the CCP, that now they go and interview the New York Times. Now they make accusations. Now they file lawsuits. All of this really stems from that kind of activity.
Well, you know, I think it's interesting. In 2006, Marnie, you remember, I got to go to Moscow and I got to meet Bolshoi ballet dancers. I wonder if you did an interview with the Bolshoi ballet dancers that had quit or left. I guarantee you it is such a rigorous discipline that people who don't make it tend to complain about it. That is just a normal practice for something at that level. Yes. And we see that even in our girls, you know, when they were going through ballet. If you didn't make it, then you complain, well, they were abusive in this. That's kind of a normal thing.
It's just that it's elite.
And it's also,
and it's small. It's a small community.
And cultural. I remember we went to math program. Our daughter took the Chinese math, and
right.
and they're very harsh in their discipline to accomplish. Not no abuse, no nothing. But this is the way that it has to be, and you have to do that if you're going to get that elite at levels.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, there's nothing unusual about people not making it. You know, moving on, some will be disgruntled. All that's normal to be expected of a lead organization and a religious organization. There are people who don't want to hold themselves to certain moral standards. Totally understand, free country, no problem. What's unusual is how these individuals were brought together and weaponized and caught up in a campaign by Beijing to attack us at a very significant level. That's the unusual part.
Well, and then I would throw in there the New York Times complicity with that, because the New York Times knows better. I'm certain the New York, what's a Metropolitan Ballet or Company or whatever, I'm certain there are hundreds of stories that they could have reported on from New York City Ballet, but they didn't. They reported here, and they reported, you know, you've got in your story examples to where all of a sudden the New York Times was allowed into China. Coincidentally, it just happened by happenstance. Beijing does that, don't they? The Chinese Communist Party does do tit-for-tat favors.
Well, I think what's shocking about the New York Times behavior is that Falun Gong is a third rail issue. You'll notice that you'll read about the Uyghurs. You'll read about what's happening in Hong Kong and in Taiwan in the newspapers, even in the New York Times. You'll not read about what's happening with Falun Gong because that's considered an existential threat. Falun Gong is 100 million people in China. It is everywhere. It's the military, it's universities, housewives. It's an existential threat to recognize the horrors that they've been through Falun Gong and that it's really their own people. And so they really draw a line with Falun Gong. And I think, sadly, wittingly or not, New York Times and a lot of Western media outlets know that line. And they won't go there. And when they do go there, it's a real red flag that it's right in line with Beijing propaganda techniques.
Yeah, no, there are certain things that you're not allowed to, you know, it's just certain say or do.
I'd say Levi is a really great interview. He knows media in and out. I mean, he's been interviewed by Wall Street Journal, Chicago Tribune, CNN, Associated Press, of course, the New York Times at one point, Time Magazine, BBC, AFP. So he knows what he's talking about in the media, and I would encourage people to read this article by him.
Find it for yourself. Research the truth for yourself. Don't just take the media's word for things. That's what I had to do. This is the shocking thing, Levi. I had to go in and talk to generals and admirals and members of the intelligence agencies. And I said, this is going on in China. And they said, China is our friend. They would never harm us. They're the banker to the United States. And, you know, at the time, the Chinese communist nation held 12% of our outstanding foreign debt. And I warned them about financial warfare because of unrestricted warfare. I pointed out Chinese language articles that I had translated that said that they were going to stop buying our debt and try and crash our dollar. No, that's not true. They're a banker. They're a friend. You know, they told us that. Well, now they hold less than, I think it's around 2% of our total outstanding debt. They owned one time 12%. Now they own 2%. They're doing exactly what they said they were going to do, but they were trying to hide it from us and pretend like they were our friends so they could maintain most favored nation status and everything. Only President Trump has recognized the threat that the Chinese Communist Party is, and they're dying as a nation because of their one nation policy or one child policy.
Well, I mean, they will roll out the red carpet for business leaders, for people, for political leaders. And you have this one side of China that's just so great and looks good and all that because they prettied up when you're visiting. And it's really not, you take the walls down and it's not like that behind those curtains.
I met a PRC person at Heritage Foundation And I told the truth, and she came up afterwards, and I said, you're PLA, aren't you? And she said, yes. I said, you're gonna whack me? And she said, no, we own half this town. I said, who owns the other half? She said, the Saudis. This is a really interesting exchange. All right, we'll cover this and more with Levi Brody, right after the break.
Throughout history, the spirit of patriotism has prevailed. The battles may have changed, but the values remain the same. Today, in 2024, we find ourselves at a pivotal moment where the call for unity, freedom, and a better future echoes louder than ever. For more than 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been committed to supporting the values that make our nation great. With affordable plans and reliable nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless service. It's a call to action for those who believe in the American dream. Because this year is not just any year. It's the most important year since our nation's founding. Choose a wireless carrier that shares your values. Choose Patriot Mobile.
Washington said paper money opens the door to every species of fraud and injustice. Jefferson said paper is poverty. Hamilton said to emit an unfunded paper as the sign of value ought not to continue a formal part of the Constitution. The founders hated paper money, so they put a pirate money clause in the Constitution for our state to use. Learn more at transactionalgold.com.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And I'm joined by my bride. We've been 3 decades we've been together. Love of my life, Marnie.
Not long enough.
Well, I hope we have another 3 decades, but I love you. I loved going with you to Shen Yun in Dallas. It's something you wanted to do for years, and I'm like, put it off, and finally we did it.
Because like you and Levi, you weren't into that dance. You didn't understand it. I didn't even really understand that world, and I was in it when I was younger.
And I'm pretty impressed by
it. It's impressive.
It is impressive. And what I love is the little red pills of truth. You know, we don't believe in evolution. We don't believe in atheism, and we do believe in tradition, and you know, a respect for a creator and things like that. There were a lot of little red pills
The Chinese culture before communism, beauty of it.
Yeah, and communism, that's a real threat to this world and to our nation. It's one of my four horsemen of the American apocalypse: the Chinese communists, the Islamists, the globalists, and then the cowards and traitors here that enable them. And it's about money in many, many cases. The live organ harvesting is to make money. All right, speaking of money, I need to mention one of our supporters. Support for this program comes from Glint. It's a financial technology service offering a debit card and mobile app that enables users to access gold holdings for everyday purchases. With Glint, users maintain ownership of allocated physical gold and silver stored in a managed vault, and at the time of transaction, you take a debit card in, gold is sold in real time to cover the purchase amount in local currency. Glint offers an alternative way to store and use the value, combining gold and silver with modern payment infrastructure. Glint clients can monitor their gold balance, silver balance, view transaction history, manage their account through the Glint app available on major mobile platforms. More details about how vaulted physical gold and silver can be used as money are available at glintpay.com/gold247. Again, that's glintpay.com/gold247. Glint providing access to gold for modern spending. And we talk about that on Pirate Money Radio a lot because one of the reasons people are turning to communism is the money has been failing.
Yes.
And people see inflation and everything else. So in New York, and I got to ask you about this, Levi, because you live in the state of New York, not the city, but the New York City just elected a socialist mayor, Mamdani. He says he's a socialist, but he's using communist language when he says, we'll replace the frigidity of rugged individualism with the warmth of collectivism. How do the fleers of communism feel about the election of Mamdani?
You know, that's been one of the great educations of my life for the last 25 years, spending nights, weekends, hours after hour after hour with my Chinese friends who came out of China and lived through the cultural, lived through the Great War, lived through all those campaigns and the transformation of what was the contiguous civilization on Earth, very spiritual, and to become what it was at the height of the Cultural Revolution. Children were created, their parents to be killed, and how did this madness come about? And it's interesting for them to look at the American landscape and the landscape around the West and say, uh-oh, there's a warning sign, there's a warning sign. Uh-oh, you're starting to tear down statues of George Washington. You're starting to desecrate the writings of the founders. That's exactly what they did in China under Mao. You better watch out. And they're constantly having these anecdotes and these stories about what they experienced in China and what they fear is coming to America.
Wow, I fear it too. Marnie, did you see that quote from the new tenant director of New York City? Her name's Sia Weaver. Do you see her quote? Do you have it?
So we will transition property to treating as like collective good or shared property. This will especially impact white property owners. Are you kidding me?
Pushing racism,
yes.
Pushing communism, right there, first week of Mamdani as mayor. It sure sounds like communism
to
me.
He did say this before. Nobody listened or we've ignored it. I don't know. But he did say something akin to this before. And he's actually falling through on his word, which politicians tend not to do. But we have this one who's going to carry out everything he said.
You know, Epoch Times has published a great book series. I've got it on the shelf behind me. The Specter of Communism, something like that. The Specter of Communism over the world, warning us, as so many others have, but they've just kind of collected it. What would happen, Levi, if America were to fall? What happens to the world if America falls?
Oh, my goodness. I shudder to think. You know, I think it's certainly democracy. Republicanism, you know, what we talk about in terms of a system of government, but also I think more fundamental is a people who believe in a benevolent creator and that the purpose of life is to be good so that you can return to heaven, and to not have that as the foundation of society, I think leads to enormous amount of suffering and chaos and that's what I would worry about the most.
Well, communism's all about atheism. You can't believe in any, excuse me, God other than government. I think the CCP has infiltrated various levels of American government, either through election or bribery or whatever. I mean, when I saw Biden getting all that money from communist China, it was frightening to me. What'd you all think when you saw that?
I mean, you see it for sure. It's all the signs that he's saying. People not being able to talk or say things from the street or on their own media, social media gets shut down. People just got arrested the other day in Dallas for preaching outside of a game of some kind. We have no freedom. I mean, we're starting to get locked down and tear down all the statues and those things. That's happening too and has been for years.
Well, and they've been buying corporations. Go ahead, Levi.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, we just had to give you an example, we had two Chinese spies were arrested and put in jail by the DOJ for trying to bribe U.S. government officials to investigate Shenyun. And just sort of think about that, how brazen that is, that they'd be in America, they'd attempt to do that against Shenyun, just to silence Shenyun. If they're doing that to a dance company, you can't imagine what they're doing to target our government leaders, our corporate leaders, our media leaders. It was a real window on just how far they would go to control the narrative and control the thinking here in America.
And there have also been bribing people to bring in literal bioweapons into universities. They've been bribing and infiltrating Wall Street so that we've sent all this money to communist China for fake companies. And again, I want to make it clear, I believe, you know, we started this program with me extolling the virtues of the Chinese people and how they were willing to, 250,000 of them were killed by imperialist Japan to protect Jimmy Doolittle and his raiders because they believed in liberty and they loved freedom and they loved America. And here, you know, now the Chinese Communist Party, the government, which is smaller than the group that you represent, Levi, in China, is controlling. They are the pigs of Animal Farm, controlling everything and threatening things. It really is. That's why this little tiny dance company that started 20 years ago is so important in a pushback to say, hey, you can't kill us. We're here. And we're going to show you the truth, and we're going to show you dance, and we're going to show you beauty, and we're going to show you China before communism.
Well, I mean, it's human rights, too. And yes, one dance company that is, they have to go after them. It is really astounding.
Bribing American officials to investigate a dance company. Never heard of such a thing.
And also, I think there's an element that in many ways, Shenzhen are the latest edition of the pilgrims. I mean, here is a group of people who horribly persecuted their homeland, come to America with their faith, their hard work, and a single resource, but the liberty this country gives them, the protections this company gives them, allows them to build something great and then export that to the rest of the world. And I think that's their American story as well.
You know, I pick up on the pilgrims because we do talk a lot about them, and we had a Thanksgiving show. You know, the pilgrims came here, and they were looking for religious freedom, and they were looking to apply these principles of hard work and everything, but they tried socialism.
They did.
And it failed them miserably at the Plymouth Colony. Collectivism, you know, the warmth of collectivism wasn't very warm that winter, and until they installed individual liberty, they didn't have a chance to have Thanksgiving. They would die off if they'd stayed with socialism.
As I said before, in theory, it sounds good, but in practice, it does not absolutely work.
Yeah, well, Shenyun, I've got this article here you wrote, Levi, the media's Shenyun blind spot. Shenyun doesn't just entertain, it raises our consciousness. It shines a light on all of this where few dare to trade. Case in point, one former New York Times correspondent, Didi Kirsten Tallow, testified to the tribunal that her attempt to report on forced organ harvesting was suppressed by her Times editors. Look, Shenyun is a beautiful show. It's almost always sold out, although I did hear from some of the performers that the Chinese Communist Party is trying to keep people away so that it's an empty halls that you're performing to. What are you doing to stop that?
I mean, the first thing we do is we try and just expose everything we can. I mean, like, for example, this year, the Chinese regime has been posting all kinds of things on social media, writing fake letters, impersonating people that don't exist, writing these letters to theaters, threatening them that if they have Shenyun, either they're a bomb threat and they're going to get bombed, or threatening that no Shenyun from China will ever perform in the theater again. They'll be, you know, outcast. And so there's a tremendous pressure being put on not just us as a company, but really on theaters where we perform around the world.
Well, where can people learn more about the show and get tickets? I've got 10 seconds.
Go to shenyun.com, S-H-E-N-Y-U-N.com.
Thank you, Levi. Thanks for joining us. I hope you have, and Shenyun has, a wonderful 2026.
Thank you very much for having me, Kevin. We're off to a great start. I'm sure we will.
All right. If you have questions, prayer needs, comments, you can email us at afr@piratemoneyradio.com. I want to say Happy New Year to you, Marnie, to all our viewers and listeners. Pray for America. Pray for us to return to God's principles in 2026. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. This is Kevin Freeman, joined by Marnie Freeman for Pirate Money Radio.
Arr.
Arr.